I didn't see Da Baby's performance. Lil Baby had on a glittery bulletproof vest, and I was trying to figure out at what point is that ever practical? Like, where do you have to be to need some sequins in your protection? I couldn't quite figure it out.
Vegas, baby.
And welcome to Highly Questionable, where we is talk about the height of bulletproof fashion. That's Dominic Foxworth. That's Israel Gutierrez. Let's do some television.
I mean, what are you doing?
What are your thoughts on Drew Brees' retirement?
I have to say, Drew Brees retired, and I found myself really disappointed. Not because I wanted to see Drew Brees play again, but because I wanted to see Drew Brees say he wanted to come back, and the Saints try to figure out how to awkwardly say, nah, dog, we don't really, really want that. But this is a unique career. One, I'm not sure how many quarterbacks we're going to see get into the Hall of Fame after struggling their first 3 years in the league, have a team bail on him by drafting another quarterback, but that quarterback held out, allowing Drew Brees to keep his job and become the superstar he's become. I don't know if there's going to be a quarterback that'll mean more to his city than Drew Brees did by showing up in 2006 at the same time as Reggie Bush after Hurricane Katrina and turning the Saints into something bigger than they had been before, nationally and even locally with their importance to the city. Like, there's only one of these. Like, Drew Brees is a guy that when we think about and we love him and talk about him as a football player, they won that Super Bowl, but there's never a time where Drew Brees was the best quarterback in the NFL. It was a matter of consistent excellence and one of the best stories that the NFL has ever had.
Yeah, I think your point about being one of the best stories, not only what he meant to that city, but what he came back from. I think you said that he kind of failed with that first team. I feel like that's kind of selling it a little short. Like, he had his shoulder torn up to the point where other teams passed on him. He was a free agent, and plenty of teams looked at him. They were like, nah, we're not taking that risk. So to think that he could go from that to the bottom, to where he may not have a team, to now holding just about all the major passing records, winning a Super Bowl with an unlikely team, coming back from Katrina. Like, that is the part of Drew Brees' career that we want to celebrate and acknowledge, not the part at the end where Bomani just laughs because he can't get it all the way down the field anymore.
Yeah, this part where, you know, the players retire and we assess their entire career is usually fun. This one in particular is intriguing because it's very much a time and place situation. Because, you know, if he had gone to Miami at the time where Nick Saban was and they took Dante Culpepper instead, it was sort of painted at Miami, you'd have the choice between the two, and got Dante Culpepper. And that wouldn't have been the same career. Not only would you not have had the same Katrina opportunity and sort of rebuild and regroup with that city, but also that franchise was not in a great place. Like, I've heard stories about Nick Saban just getting on the wrong side of Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas, and there being a lot of, you know, coach versus player infighting on that team. Could have been an entirely different picture. Instead, he goes where he goes, and now I kind of consider him like the Allen Iverson-ish of the NFL, where it's the little guy really sort of showing up and really sort of playing the big guy's game. And, you know, with all the numbers and all the passing statistics and the records, and, you know, Tom Brady will probably pass a couple of them there, he just cemented his place as one of the all-time greats, where it doesn't really matter to me, but it wouldn't have happened if he didn't end up in that city with that franchise and with that head coach.
But Izzy, think about how crazy it is to say that in 2006 that the move to make for stability or anything else was to go play for the New Orleans Saints. Up until that point, the Saints had won a single solitary playoff game in their whole existence. Like, all of their real life success that they've ever had is tied to this 15-year run of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Like, this is a franchise who, prior to him, their best quarterback ever, probably Aaron Brooks. Like, there's a whole generation of kids that doesn't understand why I joke so much about the Saints and those paper bags, because they have only known the Saints as being, at the worst, not that good. They have never seen what the Saints were before that, and that has a whole lot to do with Drew Brees.
Izzy, I can't let you slide on this. I think you might be the first person ever to compare Drew Brees to Allen Iverson.
It was too difficult
What's
to unpack.
What's the problem?
I just tried to ignore it because it was too difficult to unpack. I was like, moving on.
It's one of the best small guys in his sport, you know? Come on, man. That's a good comparison.
That ain't a tattoo. It's a birthmark.
Which coach is the best story in the tournament? Patrick Ewing, Juwan Howard, or Rick Pitino?
Hey, man, I got to say, I am glad that some of these conference tournaments worked out the way that they did, because if they had not, I wouldn't know who anybody was in this tournament. Luckily, Georgetown out of nowhere turned into 1985 Georgetown and just ran through the end of the Big East tournament and destroyed Creighton, which after the last couple of weeks, I imagine Big John's up there like, yeah, there you go, Patrick. That's what we need. But there's nothing more interesting to me coaching-wise than the fact that Rick Pitino was back. Like, here's the thing. He's the best coach in this tournament. He didn't get fired because of performance. It's going to get really awkward if they make a run, because if it was Iona, it would be heartwarming. And Pitino has been knocked down to a job well beneath his resume. Like, he is suffering what would be a punishment. Oh, by the way, that whole FBI thing that got him fired in the first place, that thing hasn't even been resolved. And Rick Pitino's back on the job and in the tournament.
I mean, look, I think it's intriguing. I don't know about this particular tournament. Like, Iona's been to the tournament, what, four straight years? So it's not like he's sort of picking up this team from the scraps and taking them to the NCAA tournament. I think there's the only answer to this question in terms of most interesting is Patrick Ewing. I mean, it's just not only his path, right? People thought he was an NBA head coach caliber type of coach, and he didn't get an opportunity there. And then he kind of has to go to his alma mater to get his head coaching job. And look what he's doing there, taking this team, and it is an underdog team, to the Big East tournament, even though, I mean, it's Creighton. It's not the real Big East that we remember it and everything else. But he won the Big East tournament in his own arena, his own home arena, the New York Knicks arena, Madison Square Garden, where he's sticking it to the organization for a second because the security guards aren't letting him through, even though he's Patrick freaking Ewing. And yeah, I love the idea that people are going to have to see this version of Patrick Ewing, watch him coach Georgetown, and take them to a surprise run before they realize, like Stan Van Gundy tweeted the other day, oh, this guy really can coach, and he probably will be an NBA head coach one day. So I think I'm watching Patrick Ewing this whole tournament, even though it might not last too long for him.
Well, I feel obligated to give Juwan Howard some love, because neither of you even mentioned his name, and that team, out of all the teams that we've mentioned, is the only one that has a realistic possibility of winning the championship. But I do think the Patrick Ewing story is interesting, but for different reasons than you, Izzy, because you said maybe people should take a closer look at what he's doing there because he's proven that he can coach. I don't know about that. I live 5 minutes from Georgetown, and they are not in love with the job that Patrick Ewing is doing until the past weekend. So Patrick Ewing may turn out to be a very good coach. Maybe he is built for the NBA, but I'm not sure that this last run proves anything about Patrick Ewing other than he owns the Big East tournament.
Well, it proves that you only have to do a little bit for people to really pay attention to you in college basketball these days. At least that's what I'm thinking.
And you know what? I think I might be down to change my answer here to Juwan Howard, because he's down to fight another coach. Like, let us not forget that last week he was ready to fight Mark Turgeon. Like, and not on some old hold me back type stuff. Like, it's one thing when you watch those things and people have to, like, hold, they just got to hold you back. That's all they got to do is just kind of grab you and then you stop. It's another when people realize I need to hit you perpendicularly and actively push you backward, because otherwise you're going to get arrested.
Funny, because I find Juwan Howard sort of as somebody who's benefited from, let's say, a Patrick Ewing or other coaches, because he got obviously his opportunity at his alma mater. And you're right, Bo. It wasn't like Turgeon told him, hey, don't talk to me. And he's like, fine, I won't talk to you. I'll just beat you. Because that is so offensive right there. Don't talk to me. I'm not coming here to talk to you. I'm coming here to talk to the ref. Get out of my face.
Is Kawhi right to call out the Clippers?
All right. After getting beaten by Minnesota, the Pelicans came out and smacked the Clippers by 20 points. The Clippers have now lost 4 out of 7 games. Ty Lue was cussing mad after the game. And Kawhi Leonard, well, we don't have actual video of this. You're going to have to take our word for it that he said something. But he said that this team was inconsistent and that the inconsistency of this team was something that worried him and something that they needed to fix. And I don't know if he was right or wrong for calling them out, but I think it's a big deal that he had, because one thing about Kawhi is that he had gotten all the privileges of being the man. He was getting all the money from being the man. He's getting the commercials and stuff for being the man. But none of this responsibility came with it, because we're like, oh, Kawhi is quiet. Nah, Kawhi is able to talk. And if they go win, somebody's going to have to be the guy on the roster who is in charge. And unless you want to lean on that being Paul George, you probably want it to be Kawhi Leonard. So it's interesting to hear him say this, because it sounds like he's taken on a role publicly that we haven't seen from him since he became a superstar player.
Yeah, you need that voice on a team, I suspect, especially when you learn the lesson that they learned last year, is that they can't just hit the switch. It seemed like they were coasting through the season, and of course we had a pandemic that changed everything, but they never were able to put together a streak of wins where you're like, hey, this team is all that we thought it would be. So him speaking up now, I think matters. It's something that they need. And to your point, Bo, he's kind of skated on this criticism because he was a champion before we considered him a superstar. And then when he got his chance to be a superstar, it was midway through the season with the Raptors, and he jumped in there and won a championship with them. So at no point did we ever look at him and say, man, this superstar is falling short. Now we're looking at him 2 years in a row. It's looking like this superstar is going to fall short. And you know what he doesn't want? That to happen. So that might make the quiet man speak up when you're starting to tarnish his resume because you can't be consistent.
Yeah, so this is interesting, and I'm concerned about the Clippers with Kawhi, right? Because if you look at the landscape of things, like, Ty Lue's a really good coach. He can coach. Kawhi Leonard, we believe, is still one of the top, I don't know where you want to put him, six or seven players in the league. He's got a PER this year of 27, which is, you know, top of the league, really good. And then you've got Paul George, a guy who's sort of trying to prove himself again, right? He's on a mission this year. You should be able to find some consistency. If you look around the league and you look at teams that have two stars, frankly, when they're healthy, you should be able to find some consistency. And it worries me with this group because you look at Lou Williams off the bench, not playing a ton of minutes, just 22, but having a not very productive year. Kawhi's still there. Paul George still very much up and down. And like, you look at the standings and say, okay, what if they face Denver in the first round again? Do you feel good about the Clippers winning that series? Do you feel good about the Clippers competing with the top of the Western Conference? And if you say no, and if the Clippers don't win it this year, this could be the end of that experiment. Kawhi Leonard could be a free agent at the end of the year, and then what? He's going to say, all right, let me stick to this and see if I can make this work. I don't know if that's going to happen. We know Paul George is going to stick around because he signed his extension, but this might be a disastrous kind of two-year situation here when after that Toronto situation, we all thought, hey, Kawhi can lead any team to a championship, and now I don't think everybody's saying the same thing.
Yo, here's what's wild about if they were to play Denver again, because Kawhi Leonard is having a great season. Like, he's playing better this season than he did last season. But if they played against Denver, the Clippers would not have the best player on the floor. Because can I tell you guys a secret? Jokic is out here putting up MVP. He's like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar MVP level of performance. You go look at the advanced numbers on Jokic. That dude is putting up numbers. When you see the other names that are up there, it's like Kareem, Jordan, LeBron. It's just that it's Jokic, and we can't wrap our minds around it. I'd be scared as hell of playing against them.
Up next on HQ.
Well, also, can we take a moment and talk about the fact that Izzy's like, if you've ever done this, dude, you work with us. Derrick Henry's out there doing that to get ready to go actually play football. The railroad man is over here like, nah, I got a photo shoot coming.
I mean, come on, man. I understand. Like, I can take those jokes, but you, Bo, like, you are getting into the photograph game. You're getting into the shirtless.
Yeah. I'm not out here working out like a person in the league. I'm out here doing something I can run off the app.
Do you question if Ben Simmons' response to this Wizards announcer was fair?
All right, I don't even know who this Wizards announcer is, but he said that Ben Simmons was overrated. We got that?
I mean, I've said it before, and I know I'll take flack for it. As Westbrook is at the free throw line, as the call on the floor stood, the challenge by Doc Rivers. I think Ben Simmons is one of, if not the most overrated players in the NBA.
Wow.
And he's gotten so much love and attention that people aren't paying attention to what Tobias Harris is actually doing on the floor.
Is he related to Tobias Harris? I mean, it doesn't sound like he is, but anyway, here's Ben Simmons after the game.
It depends. Like, usually I see a lot of on the internet. So when I saw that one, you know, I had plenty of time because I was on quarantine still. So I scrolled through his Instagram, saw who he was. It is what it is. He's like a 5'5" commentator for the Wizards, man. I can't give it too much attention. You know, I was just playing a little game with him, but it is what it is.
Do we know if he's actually 5'5"? Like, is that true? Or is that Ben Simmons being 6'10" and all of us are 5'5"?
I believe he definitely did the deep Instagram dive, so I believe he probably knows better than the rest of us here. And I think it's really unfair, by the way, because didn't Jim Boeheim just do this to a guy named Gutierrez, by the way, over in Syracuse, to say, oh, he's 5'2", shouldn't really be able to cover basketball? I think that's insulting. However, if you're going to call Ben Simmons an overrated player on television for everybody to hear just because the guy can't shoot, and then champion Tobias Harris as some guy who should have made the All-Star game ahead of him, I think you deserve some sort of criticism, even if it's not fair.
I just want to know, what's the cutoff for Ben Simmons, for people to be critical of Ben Simmons? How tall do I have to be? Because I'm not 6'10", I'm not 5'5", but I do, on occasion, make some criticism of people much taller than me. But in this case, the 5'5" announcer is way off. I think the opposite is true of Ben Simmons. Like, he is the most criticized player in the league, or one of the most criticized players in the league. Maybe he deserves it, or maybe he doesn't, but overrated isn't what comes to mind when I think of Ben Simmons.
Yeah, let me tell you something, though. When he said 5'5", that was for an audience of one. It doesn't matter. There is no height qualification to whether you are able to talk about basketball. He just wanted to hit old buddy right there, and it never fails. It always works.
Paul Pierce also criticized the 76ers this weekend.
Yeah, when I look at the score, the end score of this game, what this tells me is that Joel Embiid is definitely playing at the MVP level, because, you know, when he's the one player you're missing and you lose by this many points, I mean, you won. They won. They told, oh, that's right. That's right. They did win.
They won by 40. The 76ers,
well, he might not be on that MVP list.
That happened?
On NBA duty, man. Check the score.
Dog.
It's NBA duty night. Just check the score.
Wait, what are you looking at on your phone when you're not on the air? Like, if not the scores.
Do you question if this is going to make Derrick Henry tougher to tackle?
Tougher to tackle than Derrick Henry already is. That seems like a lot to ask for, in part because he makes defensive backs tackle him, and that is very difficult for them. But anyway, here he is training. Oh, he's doing the one-legged thing? Oh, yeah, because that stiff arm wasn't powerful enough, folks.
I mean, let me tell you, I don't know if you've done the balancing on whatever those things are called, the super hard. I remember watching Steph Curry and them talking about how he has the strongest core in the league and he was training on that. But pushing people off while you're doing that, the form tackling here, by the way, it's terrible. But pushing people off when you're on that thing, that is ridiculous core strength right there. Not that I'm shocked whatsoever that he's doing this, but man, you guys should try that.
Yeah, I mean, the saddest part, as once I was a young teenager who wanted to come to the NFL and I would see little clips of my favorite players training and I would copy those clips. That's one of the things about the internet that we have now, is everyone's putting out their little weird workout thing, and all these poor kids are going to go home and think they become Derrick Henry because right. They can balance on one of those physio balls and push people off. No, that ain't why he's hard to tackle. If he didn't do that drill, he's still going to be stiff-arming people into next week. So no, that drill is not going to help him do anything. But yeah, you're right, Izzy. The form tackling in there, that's like, the problem. He'll be a hell of a running back if everybody tried to tackle him with their nipples, which is what these guys were doing.
Well, also, can we take a moment to talk about the fact that Izzy's like, if you've ever done this, dude, you work with us. Derrick Henry's out there doing that to get ready to go actually play football. The railroad man is over here like, nah, I got a photo shoot coming.
I mean, come on, man. I understand. Like, I can take those jokes, but you, Bo, like, you are getting into the photograph game. You're getting into the shirtless.
Yeah. I'm not out here working out like a person in the league. I'm out here doing something I can run off the app.
You guys and your show muscles. You ain't got no functional muscles. Derrick Henry's talking about functional muscles. Y'all talking about show muscles.
What function do I need my muscles for? I work here.
Right now in spring training, Pirates and Orioles.
Shout out to me for fighting the temptation to call this guy Tommy Walters when his name is Tony Walters, and obviously I've never heard of him before. But let's watch him strike out. Oh!
Oh, man.
Yo, that's the okey-doke.
No.
Also.
Yes, it is.
I didn't see it went there.
You miss it so much that it hits you.
Oh, by the way, I didn't know that the Submariners were back. I've been wondering whatever happened to them. Welcome back to the Sidearm Pitchers. Izzy, you intrigued?
I mean, I'm very intrigued. I'm intrigued by the sort of sudden, like the tears of anger by this guy. He's swinging. He's like, oh, no, I'm missing. Oh, no, this is embarrassing. Oh, no, it's hitting me in the crotch. And this will live forever. Yeah, I'm definitely buying or What is it? C or no? I'm definitely saying C.
There we go. Dominique, are you intrigued?
No, I'm not intrigued. Preseason baseball is one thing. Regular season baseball is another thing. Watching people get hit in the groin with baseball is not something I ever want to see. I do it right now because y'all pay me to do it. I'm not going to be out here seeking it out, like turning on a baseball game. Hope somebody gets smacked in the, you know.
I have spent the better part of the last 8 years working on this television program with people looking at me like I'm the weirdo because I don't think it's funny to watch somebody get hit in the progeny. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that somebody else finally understands that we need to be banding against this stuff, right? Like, I'm not going to lie. If they had sent that sidearm to jail for that, I'd understand.
I mean, that's why they wear protection in that sport. Look, Dominique, there are Instagram accounts dedicated to kids getting hurt and people laughing at them, okay? So the groin hit, I'm going to have to go ahead and settle for it. I can watch that. Not going to watch the kids falling.
Well, hold on. Is it kids getting hit in the groin or just kids getting hurt? Because if they just getting hurt, they're resilient.
Just getting hurt.
Oh, okay. I can live with that.
I mean, his kids might have just got hurt.
See? All right, that is our show. Check out Izzy Gutierrez on the sideline near you. Dominique Foxworth, check him out at The Undefeated and on Foxworth Friday on The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast. Dominique Foxworth, every Friday, will be joining the show. Oh, yeah, it's going to be good.